September is the crazy busy month, right? Isn't it the time when everything goes back and we're all making a whole bunch of commitments, trying to figure out how we're going to do that? And crazy busy is how we tend to live our lives. And the reason for this series, based upon Kevin DeYoung's book, I use his book, that's his title, is that usually we try to deal with busyness by our schedule and when it's a hard issue. And you will not hear me say, here's the route away from busyness. It just is the way our culture is. But what you're hearing me talk about is, well, how do I know what I should be busy doing? Because busyness can distract us from what is important. It does that. It just takes our mind off what's really most important. You can't do everything, but you can do something. And what are the some things you are doing? Are they really the most important for you, your relationship with God and your family? And then as we come today, I want to ask you about some guidelines. I want to talk to you about some guidelines that we have that God gives us in His Word that help guide us in the kind of busyness that we choose to bring on our lives, because most things we are involved in, we have chosen to be there. In a long, long time ago, in a neighborhood far, far away, a couple who had retired moved in next door. They bought the house that was right next to us that was for sale. They moved in, them and their three dogs. And then they had babies. Can you imagine a retired couple having babies? They got two more dogs. And so now they had five dogs. I think you kind of know where this story is going to go. They were great dogs, great people, but there was no control over the dogs. They went and they roamed and went wherever they want, whenever they want. I got tired of picking up poop from five dogs because our yard became their toilet. I don't know why, but they chose to drop it all in our yard. And I got tired of picking after their five dogs and mine six dogs. And then there were times when we would look out the back window when Zeke, our dog, was out there, and there'd be three or four dogs jumping all over him, kind of attacking him. They never really bit him, but they were all jumping all over him. He was overwhelmed, and I'm like, well, that can't happen. And then we would have guests come to our house, and their dogs would be jumping on our guests. And they're like, man, your dogs are something. I'm like, they're not my dogs. I think the thing that pushed us over the edge, well, not us, but the neighborhood, was our neighbors on the other side. So there was our neighbors that moved in with the dogs. There was us and there was other neighbors. They were, Shirley was having a big family get together, all coming to their house. She had this massive turkey and she was out on the deck. Yeah, I was out on the deck thawing out, and she heard a noise and looked out, and one of the dogs had the turkey in its mouth and was trying to carry the turkey while it took off. I don't know whatever happened to the turkey, neither did Shirley. Our next door neighbors that own the dog never said anything, but I kind of all wondered how that all worked its way out with those five dogs, if you know what I mean. Well, we tried to deal with it in the right way. I went over five times to say, look, like, this is getting overwhelming. Can you please do something about your dogs? And nothing ever happened. And so time number six came. I killed the dog with a gun. No, I didn't. So Crystal was out in the yard with Zeke, our dog, and one of their dogs, they were gone, and one of their dogs got out and came running over, jumping on Zeke. Crystal grabbed the dog. They were very friendly, nice dogs, but, you know, there's just too much of them. Too much of a good thing is too much. And so she tied him to her basketball post, the post that held her basketball net, called the doggy police. The doggy police came, took the dog, and then when our neighbors came home, I assume the doggy police called them, and they went down to spring little doggy pup from their, you know, doggy jail. And they had to pay $50 for it. And that week, amazingly, there was a company there putting in a new fence around their yard. You see, fences make what? Good neighbors, right? They protect individuals and solve problems, because fences help us to deal with things that are good. The dogs were good. Dogs are good. We had one. But the fences help us protect us and deal with issues that can come up when there are no fences. And when it comes to busyness, there's a couple of fences that I found in Corinthians. I found them. They've been there for 2,000 years. But I want to read about them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. Paul is writing, he's talking about believers using their freedom and how it affects other people. And he says, I have the right, now he's quoting, I have the right to do anything, you say. Well, it's my right, I can do that. I have the right to do anything, which is true, but not everything is beneficial. Just because it's good or just because you can do it doesn't mean that it's beneficial for you or your family. Let me just stop and think about that. There are a lot of good things we pack in our lives. It doesn't mean that they're beneficial. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is constructive. In other words, it doesn't build me or my family up by doing it. It's a good thing, nothing wrong with it, but it's not beneficial. And then there's another verse in 1 Corinthians 6. Paul, it's the same pattern, it's the same way, but he changes it a little bit. He said, I have the right to do anything. We already heard that. You may have the right to do it. Nothing wrong with it. It's a good thing, you say, but not everything is beneficial, and I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. See, too much of a good thing is too much. It's not always beneficial. And then sometimes good things master us and control us and our families. So I had to put these fences into play in my life not even a month ago. I don't know how many of you like computer games, or I have on my iPad this gift. My sons are going to be laughing at this right now, because they have watched me. I have on my iPad this game. It's called Rome Total War. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it is the best game that you can buy. And that's just my opinion. It's one of those strategy empire games that take hours and hours and hours to play. And so I just love it. I could play that thing all day long. And guess what? I was playing that thing all day long. And so what happened was, you get a couple minutes, you go on to kind of just, play the game a little bit, and then 2 hours is gone like that. And during those 2 hours, Crystal would say things like, hey, Ed, could you take the garbage out? Uh-huh. Hey, Ed, there's the whatever needs to be taken care of, or we're going to meet with so-and-so in a couple, in an hour. Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. And then the 2 hours would come, and what she asked me to do was never done, or people were walking in our door, and I didn't even know they were coming. And even though I was saying uh-huh, I never heard a word. I was totally engaged in the game. And I was going to bed at night thinking about my next moves and then getting up. And then for devotions, studying Rome. And it wasn't really beneficial. Ladies, this isn't gonna, you're not going to get... It wasn't beneficial to my marriage at all. In fact, we got in a big blowout over this. And I finally realized, man, this thing is controlling me. I can't put the thing down. And so, as hard as it was, I had to, hold my iPad and hold the icon, the app icon. And then when it starts shaking and there was an X, I start shaking and I was I deleted it. Now, you know what this is like. It may not be Rome Total War for you. You may have played it and go, I don't get the attraction. You may try to play it and go, this guy's weird. But it controlled me. But, you have the same things. Food. For some of us, food. What's wrong with food? It's good. We got to have it to live. But too much of a good thing is not beneficial. Or gaming may be your issue. Or your phone. Or vaping. Or maybe smoking a cigar. Or some friends with you, if you spend too much time, they affect you negatively. Is friendship a good thing? Of course. But some, you have to put fences around. Or a relationship that you're nurturing at work. It's not healthy for you. There's nothing wrong with that person, great person, but for you, it's affecting you negatively. Maybe you need a fence around your work. A lot of good things that we have in our lives, but either they're not beneficial to us in our relationships, or they're controlling us and affecting the dynamic of our relationships, of our families, of our own minds. And so these are fences that Scripture provides for us. Yeah, a lot of good things. You may have the right to do it, but is it beneficial to you? Or is it controlling you? Now, I want to take that idea of the fences because you're thinking, okay, what does this have to do with busyness? I think I get it. Like there's, you know, I get a lot of things crammed into my schedule, and so maybe I should be asking, is it beneficial and is it controlling? And I want to ask that about something maybe you didn't expect or never thought needs some review in your life. And that's your parenting. If you're a parent or a grandparent here, maybe you need to review how you parent. Ellen Galinsky, let's see, she did a study, and she did this massive study with students from grade 3 to 12. She asked a bunch of questions, and one of the questions, if you could change any one way your parents' work affects you, what would it be? So, students, grade 3 to 12, there was the question that she asked. What do you think the overwhelming answer to that is? Now turn to the people around, somebody beside you, and just tell them your guess. It's okay if you're wrong. Go ahead. You're allowed to talk. This is the part where you're allowed to talk. What do you think the overwhelming answer to that question is from the students, grade 3 to 12? What do you think they said, if I could change one thing about the way my parents' work affects me, it would be this? So what do you think it is? I'll bet you a number of you say, I wish my parents would spend quality time with me. Less time at work, more time with me, right? That's what they would say. And if you said that, you would be completely wrong. And that's not what they said. This is what the students said. I wish my parents were less tired and less stressed. Interesting that would be what they would say. The overwhelming answer, most popular answer. And then as Ellen Galinsky did more questions in this research, she had the students rate their parents, give them a grade, A, B, C, D, E, or F. And most parents did really well, but there was one area where a vast majority of parents received an F from their kids. You know what it was? They're angry and their temper. They can't control their anger and their temper. And so I had to ask myself, well, why is it that these kids, and the answering this question, would say, I want parents, if I could have anything, I want parents that are less tired, less stressed, and less angry. What in the world would be causing parents to be tired, stressed, and angry, other than their kids? I don't know if you remember the first sermon that I did. I mentioned to you there was a study done. I even quoted the book because I was so shocked by the study that commuters carry a higher stress level than fighter pilots or riot police. And I thought, well, that can't be true. And then I got thinking about it. I said, it's probably the cumulative effect of long commutes and then coming home and trying to cram all regular activities of regular families into a smaller schedule. And over time, it just bears so much stress. And so what I think the answer to behind this is that the kids are feeling the effect of our lives being so full with so little time, and we get stressed, and we get tired, and we get angry, and they're saying, boy, if I could change anything about my parents, it'd be that. Now, the easy answer to that would be say, well, clearly you have to stop working or get another job. Let's close in prayer and go out look for jobs. Well, that's not going to work. And the reason that's not going to work is because it's not reasonable. But also, that's not the whole problem. Yes, work is an area of stress and we have to learn to manage it. But also, it's what we do after work that fills our lives. It's the free time that what we cram into that affects our kids. It's being busy on too many fronts. And as parents, I think we are way too busy for our kids. There, I'll say it. We're way too busy. Our families are way too busy. And so I had to ask myself, well, why would that be? Why are we so busy? Leslie Leland Fields, a Christian research scientist, said, one of the most resilient and cherished myths that we carry as parents is that I create the child. Just stop and think about this for a second. One of the myths that we carry is that my parenting determines who my kids will become. Now, if you're honest with yourself, I'm going to guess that you believe this to a degree anyway. That the outcome of your children is based upon how good of a parent you are. More and more research is showing that, well, that's not true at all. Listen to Brian Kaplan. He wrote this book called Selfish Reasons to Have More Kids. Interesting title. He says, we overestimate how much depends upon us for the future well-being of our kids. We overestimate how much depends on us. Our pressure to make sure everything is perfect, that they have every experience possible, they go to the best schools possible, they thrive in the best sports possible, they do well in what school they go to. All these are good things, but they do not determine the future well-being or direction of your kids. You know this because you've watched kids follow Jesus who have come out of environments and homes that are the worst. They're broken. They're painful. They curse God. And their kids decide to follow Jesus and have a passion for Jesus. And then kids that grow up in Christian homes where the parents prayed over them, prayed with them, brought them to church, modeled Jesus, turn away from the faith. If you determined the future success of your children, then you should never have to worry that your kid would ever go the wrong way. If you would just do the right things. But you do. Many of us do the right things, but our kids simply don't cooperate. Because only God and they determine their future. We don't. We don't determine the future of our kids. Do we impact them? Uh-huh. Do we influence them? Uh-huh. Isn't parenting important? You bet it is. One of the most important responsibilities that you will ever be given if you're given children. For some are not. And some choose not to be married and not have families. And that's the will of God for them, and it's good. But if you're given children, then the responsibility to parent them is enormous. But do not put on yourself what only God can do. Determine the future of your children and what they are responsible to do. Look at the next quote that we have. This is from Kaplan again. It would be better for us and for our kids if we planned fewer outings, got involved in fewer activities. So this is a research scientist. They think about these kinds of things. Took more breaks from the kids and did whatever we could to get more help around the house and made parental sanity more of a priority. So, whatever happened to, well, I know what happened to it, but saying to your kids, go out the door and don't come back for an hour. As long as you don't kill each other and burn the house down, do what you want. Now, I'm exaggerating. But whatever happened to just letting our kids be kids and not putting so much pressure. See, what happens is when you are the one, if you believe that myth, and I want you to ask yourselves honestly, is that the model of parenting that I adopted? Because that's what our culture tells us. And so if you believe the myth that what you do as a parent determines your future of the kid, what do? Will you load their life with activity and commitments and plans and your family, and it affects your family, and you're going like crazy, crazy busy? Why? Because you want to make sure your kids don't miss something that may help them in the future, or they get every opportunity to experience everything so that they'll do okay when they grow up and they'll want to come home still. We put it on ourselves that we got to fill their lives, and which then means for us as family and parents, we fill our lives, and it becomes kind of like the that they're the mini gods in our homes, and everything revolves around them. And do you know what that does to your kid? It makes them selfish and insecure. No kid wants the home revolving around them. It's more than they can bear. Oh, yeah, they might like it because they can become selfish and get what they want, but it makes them very insecure when they're the ones that are leading the home and not mom and dad. Let me give you some good news. It's really hard to ruin your kids. I mean, if you try, you can. I'm not saying you can't do it. I mean, people seem to have tried and done it, but it's really hard to mess them up completely. And it's really hard to make them successful. Because that's not our role as parents. Our role is to love and direct and influence and provide an environment where they're safe and secure and receiving what is best. And when we feel that their well-being, their future direction and success is based upon what we do, we have put ourselves in the place of God. And so then it creates what do we do when we feel it all depends on us? Overcommit, overplan, overactivate our kids. I'm not saying they shouldn't be involved in things. Don't go to the extreme. Get to the heart. Remember, this is a heart issue. Why are we so busy? And I'm saying because we're not trusting God with our kids. We're trusting us. And that's the mindset of parenting from the world, not from the scriptures. Scriptures call us to put fences up. To ask, is it good? Yeah, it's good. Is it beneficial? Is it mastering us? It's a good thing, but is it controlling us? Is it really helping us to center our home on God? So one activity for our family may need to go, but for your family, it's fine. It's so personal, and it's so based upon the personalities and what everybody else is involved in and what you can handle. And so you have to understand for your own family, what is best for my family? Maybe this is an issue, this busyness in our families is an issue that would be resolved if we would trust God and look to His Word and look to Him in prayer and say, God, what is best for my family? I'd say applying these fences to our family would be a really healthy thing for many of our families. Looking at things and saying, is it good? Yep. Is it beneficial? Is it really helping that child? Is it really helping our family? And if it's not, making a hard decision. Is it mastering us? It's good, but does it control us? Does it control our time? Does it control us as a family? Maybe we need to make a hard decision and trust God that our kid doesn't need everything we can possibly give them, every experience, every activity, every plan. They don't need that. Maybe what they need is a home centered and balanced where God, there's time for God. Now, I wanted to talk about, I just wanted to say, leave you with some ideas like, well, okay, how do we apply this to our lives? Because I have found in my parenting, in my devotional life, in my walk with God, in my work, it's not the radical changes that come that I can handle. I can handle when I have to just do one thing and get it in place and then do the next thing. And so I thought, what would be some steps that a family or an individual might make to apply these fences, these good fences to their life? Well, the first thing I would say is, this was reinforced to me when I was on my sabbatical. When God is in the middle of your life, then everything else finds its place. Doesn't mean everything else is easy, doesn't mean you won't have trials, doesn't mean you won't be busy, doesn't mean you won't, but just means that when you're with God, when you've got that major thing in place, He impacts the rest of what's happening in your life. So are you seeking God? Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, or this is a question for all of us. Doesn't matter if you're mom or dad or grandpa or grandpa or you're single or you're married without kids. It doesn't matter. Is God the middle of your life? Are you making time to cement His place in your life daily? When God is in the middle of your life and you're walking with Him, everything else finds its place. And when something's out of place, He helps you put it in the right place. So probably the greatest thing you could give your kids or grandkids is just you walk with God. And when they see you walk with God, they learn what it means to walk with God in their culture and their context. Maybe that's the first thing you do. That would do more for the health of your family and you than any else that you could do. Or maybe for you as a family, you need to start praying. God, what is in our lives that is good, but it's not beneficial? Or it's good, but it's controlling us? Would you show us what it is? Could be something big, could be something small. What is it that you would have us rearrange or remove from our lives? Would you show us? And you seek God, and you ask God, and you wait for Him to listen. He will show you. Maybe you want to take another step. This is especially good when you have younger kids. You will be shocked how smart and wise your kids are. Tell them, in a couple days we're going to get together, we're going to talk about how busy we are, and we're just going to pray together, and we're going to talk and ask, what is there something that needs to be pulled out of our lives? And you let your kids speak into that. And they will put the finger right on the issue, even if it revolves around their life. Our kids are far smarter than we ever give them credit for. Give them an opportunity to speak. Just a little family meeting. Are we too busy? And if we are, what could we take out of our lives? It's not really helping us as a family, or it's controlling us. The four-year-old. You'll be shocked. Or maybe get together and say, okay, we want to have one night a week or one time period in the weekend where we just want to be together as a family. When could that happen? Where nothing else is planned. We don't do anything unless we do it all together. And we're not going to fill it with plans. You're just going to be at the house. Just being together. Creating a place that's safe and stable. When do you want to do that? Maybe that's what you need to do as a family. Crystal often tells me how to preach. I mean, we talk about the sermon all the time. And she was listening to, just happened this week, she was listening to a podcast, I think it was from Jeannie Allen, and she had done some work with teenagers, and they said, you know what they said they wish their parents would do? Put away the phone. So, I mean, we usually think the teenagers are the ones with the phone, and they always get their phone out, and they're always using it, and they got to tell them at supper, put the phone away. You know, I've kind of been watching that. We're as bad or worse with our phones than our kids. I remember when we took our kids, we saved up and went to Disney World for our kids. It was a great holiday. They were a little younger. This was all pre-smartphone technology. This was dial-up era, so you couldn't carry your computer along with you in the lines. And so we would get in the lines, and if you've ever been to Disney World, you know that part of your Disney World experience is waiting in a line. Because even if you do the fast pass and all that, you're still waiting a while in the lines. And interestingly enough, it was one of the experiences of Disney World that I most remember because so much happened while the five of us were sitting there. We came up with like 21 different games you could play while waiting in line and that didn't draw blood. That was just the only thing we had to see. They can't draw blood, and they came up with 20, and they would play the game, and all the other people around us would be watching, and we would be laughing, and then we'd talk about them. What are we going to go next? And we were talking and interacting. If you were at Disney World with that age kid today, what would be happening while you're in the line? Quiet. Our technology is a fabulous thing, but it's not always beneficial. And too often it's controlling us, our attention, our time. One more thing I would say. One of the things I would say it would be the most helpful if you want to create a level of reasonableness in our busyness, because I don't believe we're ever going to get rid of busyness in the world that we live in, but to do it well, to handle it and manage it well, one of the things that you and I need to learn to do is Sabbath, to take a day where we step back from everything in a reasonable manner and unplug from life so that our soul and our mind and our body is refreshed. And my final sermon in this whole crazy busy is going to talk about what a Sabbath is and how it brings incredible life-giving joy and emotion and a sense of well-being back into lives that are harried and busy. And we'll talk about that next week. Let me pray with you. Father, help us to understand why we do what we do. Help us to be wise as individuals, whether we're single or married, whether we have kids or don't have kids. Help us to be aware of good things that are not beneficial or good things that control us. And give us wisdom when it comes to our families. There are so many things to do, so many responsibilities to fill, so complex with each individual schedule that we need your wisdom and your guidance. I pray you would put upon our hearts a desire to seek you about the busyness of our lives, and that you'll show us step by step the things that we need to change so that there is a reasonableness and a healthiness in the middle of the busyness that we live. Would you replace the listlessness, the emptiness, the sense of wandering that we sometimes feel as a result of the complexity of our lives with a joy and a stability and a calmness and a peace that passes all understanding. Help us to listen to your word and obey it as we seek to follow you in the world that we live. I pray in the name of our Savior who died for us, who gave his life that we could be forgiven of our sins, and who loves us deeply, calls out to us from his word. In your name I pray.